So who can tell me? You can have this back, the laptop back. Tim, that'd be great. Who can tell me how many days it is left to Christmas? How many days?
23 in a couple of hours.
Try that again.
23 in a couple of hours.
23 in a couple of hours. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. What do you think? How many days do you think? I said it again.
24.
24 days to Christmas. How organized are we? Very. Excellent. I'm going to come and talk to you in a minute. You see, one of the things that I want to find out this morning is this. I want to know how prepared you are for Christmas. You see, in Ireland, we're kind of quite laid back. I've been known in my house to go out and buy my Christmas tree on the 24th of December. Doesn't go down well at home, let me tell you. So let me find out this morning. Hands up if you've got your Christmas tree.
In the loft.
In the loft. Well, you've got it. Got it. Were you going to say you got it already? In the loft as well. But look, thanks to Margaret and Innes, we have our Christmas tree here. Great start to Christmas, isn't it? And well, there we go. But Advent is all about getting ready for Christmas. 24 days left of Christmas. Okay, have you bought your Christmas cards?
No.
Stick up your hand if you bought your Christmas cards. That's not bad, is it? Stick up your hand if you've sent your Christmas cards. Oh, I'm impressed. I've got to talk to these people here this morning. Have you actually sent cards?
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
Is this because they're going like far away? Or
Europe, that's right. Europe,
America, Canada.
Yeah, and getting prepared and getting ready. These guys are on the ball. My goodness me. Anybody ordered a turkey? Oh, my goodness me. I think we should have these guys up on the platform this morning, shouldn't we? Turkey's ordered.
Absolutely.
20 tickets as well.
Yeah. And you sold what?
20 tickets to the show as well.
20 tickets. That's the Jonathan Beer. Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute, actually. Yeah. You guys are brilliant. Very organised, I have to say. But I don't know, there's so much to get ready for. Anybody ever play this game? This isn't me as a little girl, okay? Just want to make that very clear this morning. But it is a game that I used to play when I was younger. What's the game called? Do you know? Say again.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. I love that game. Actually, I still love playing it now, actually. What's one of the things that we shout out just before we come looking for people? It's kind of on the screen, isn't it?
I'm coming.
Coming. Sometimes we say, ready or not, don't we? And Christmas is coming, whether we are ready or not. Now, imagine if this was to happen tomorrow. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning and you suddenly discovered that it was Christmas Day. It just comes suddenly. Now, what would that be like, I wonder? For some of us, it'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? What would it be like if it was Christmas Day tomorrow? There would be no something to go to? No what? Where do you go tomorrow? You do it usually.
What about all the chocolates on the Advent calendar?
Well, you could eat all them straight away. You could have them all. Who goes to school? So there'd be no school tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no school tomorrow. Okay, what do you think it would be like if Christmas Day suddenly arrived tomorrow? Would you be ready? Presents wrapped, yeah, turkey ordered at least, but it wouldn't be ready, would it? We'd be well caught out, wouldn't we, if Christmas Day arrived tomorrow, if we had no warning. And yet that's what Jesus is saying about the day of his return. We know when the day of his birth is being celebrated, because it's in 24 days' time. But if Christmas came tomorrow and we discovered that we weren't ready, it would be a bit like the day of Jesus' return. It's coming suddenly. Jesus says nobody knows when Jesus is going to return and when that great promise will be fulfilled and everything will be made new. So, Jesus said, you've got to be on your guard because you don't know when that day is going to come. And we're going to be thinking this morning about what Jesus has to say to us about that to make sure that we are ready for a day and we don't really know when it's going to happen. And that's quite difficult to get ready for, isn't it? So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to speak to us this morning. As we think about Christmas, as we think about Jesus' return and some other important things. So let's pray. Let's just close our eyes as we pray. Father, we want to thank you for the prospect of Christmas. Lots of people around me here this morning are pretty excited about Christmas. There's lots of things to look forward to. And we thank you for the joy of Christmas. But we also know that there are some in our church family for whom Christmas is going to be a difficult period. And we pray especially for them this morning. We pray for those whose partners have died and for whom this is going to be a very sad Christmas because they will be without someone that they love. We pray that we might be a great support to those families this Christmas time. Help us to be aware of people who live on their own. We pray that within our church family there will be no one lonely over the Christmas period, because we are concerned about each other. And we pray for people in our world for whom Christmas is going to be difficult. We think of families who lost loved ones in that helicopter crash in Glasgow, and for whom this Christmas is going to be a very sad time. We pray that you will comfort those who mourn, and you'll be very close to those who are in hospital and who are injured. And we especially think too of Christians who are persecuted because of their faith, and for whom Christmas will be a very difficult and dangerous time as they seek to celebrate the wonderful news of the Christmas message. Be with them, we pray, and give them the courage and the strength that they need to follow Jesus. We ask in his name, amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing another song. And a lot of our songs this morning will have in them some words or some lines about that great day that's coming. That day when God's going to make everything new. So let's stand up as we sing together. Let's stand now. Let's sit for a few more minutes. I wonder, have you ever seen these two words? Not those words, these two words. Coming soon. I don't know what you guys are like in school, but I know that when I was at school, sometimes the teacher would go out of the room and she'd say, I want you to get on with your work. I want you to be quiet until you come back in. I'm sure you guys all do that, don't you, without doubt. But when I was at school, and I'm sure it's not like this now, we used to appoint someone who would kind of be very close to the corridor and they'd kind of be peeking out. And we'd have a great time when the teacher wasn't in the room. We'd have a ball, actually. But this guy's job was to shout. As soon as he saw the teacher, he would say, coming, 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 coming. And we'd run back to our seats and we'd all sit and open our books and we'd look like angelic people. I'm sure you don't do that. I'm sure it's not like that where you guys go to school, is it? No, definitely not. But coming soon are two great words that we see all over the place, don't we? We see it sometimes if we've got a favourite film that we want to see. It's coming soon. Some of you kind of enjoy shopping. I hate it, but some of you really love it. And you kind of see the sales, don't you? Coming soon, sometimes in the window. But here are some things that are coming soon. I did this the other day, actually. Crofton Baptist Church. CBC, Crofton Baptist Church. Some things that we're getting ready for at Christmas, okay? Some things that are going to happen in the next few weeks. Now, where's Sarah? Sarah, just stand up for 1 minute, okay? Now, Sarah, we're doing something new next Sunday morning. Tell us very quickly what we're going to do.
Towards the end of the first service, a few of us are going to go out from the church, having been prayed for, and we're going to have a little walk around some of the houses nearby, and we're going to invite them to church at Christmas, and we're going to offer to pray with people who feel that they have something that they'd like to be prayed for in their lives. If you want to come, please tell me, because there aren't that many, and it'll be lovely to have a few more. So if you want to come, it's something we can bless people with, and we can show that that Christmas is a time to share God's love.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah. So that's starting next Sunday morning, okay, at the first service. We'll pray for that group as they go out to visit. Now, where's Charlie sitting this morning? Way at the back here. Charlie, I knew you'd be a long way back. Tell us very quickly, okay, I can't operate my slides from back here because you're too far away, but tell us very quickly about the cash, the treasure, thanks very much, thank you. There's a big treasure chest behind our musicians this morning. What's in it, Charlie?
It's just to the right of the stage. There's a treasure chest as you walk out. There's lots Smooth. Of coins. We're asking you to bring in your coins. There's some leaflets there if you want to find out more. I'll be at the front at the end of the service.
Fantastic, okay. That's some. So any loose change that you've got over this next month, throw it into the treasure chest. And we're going to support a group who are going to Nepal in half term in February. And also for some of the work, I think that Megan's involved in Romania. That's part of the support. So, change for change. That's coming. What have we got next on here? Chris Dingle service. My goodness. Here's the first of our Christmas carol services. Diane, tell us very quickly, what's this about?
We're going to have our Chris Dingle service. So we're going to be making little orange, or not making oranges. We're going to put candles in oranges, lots of sweets, mince pies for the mums and dads. Then we come into the church, we light our candles, sing a few carols, it's lovely. 3 to 10-year-olds, it's really accessible for non-church people, so bring your friends.
Excellent. Goodness me, you really condensed that well, didn't you? And then the next of our carol services, Carols by Candlelight, Sunday the 15th, 6:30 p.m., the first chance that we have to get together as a church and to sing some great Christmas carols. Rod is working hard with a bunch of people who are going to sing at that service. So do invite people to come and hear something of the Christmas message. What's coming next? Let me see. Carol Concert, Crofton Singers. This is 8 o'clock, not 7:30, as Anne pointed out to me earlier. That's another great event to look forward to. Another great event we can invite people to hear the Christmas story. And what about this guy, Jonathan Vere? Have you got your tickets? Yes. If you've not got your ticket, There are only a few left. And you need to see me or one of the people that are selling tickets at the end of the service, because that's going to be a great night and well worth looking forward to. The other thing we're going to be doing this Christmas is an all-age carol service, okay? Might be a little bit like this, actually, but with a Christmas theme. It's an opportunity for all of us to worship together, regardless of our age, something for all of the children to be involved in. 5 o'clock, December the 22nd, please come. I don't want to be here on my own. But it's a great opportunity to celebrate Christmas together, just as we arrive at Christmas time. And Christmas Day celebration, 10:30 a.m. And the other thing I want to mention this morning is food bank, okay? We've been bringing some chocolates for the work of London City Mission. Thank you for those who've done that today. But our big project this Christmas is food bank. And I want to show you a very short video clip this morning, which will show you why food bank is so important and why this is something that we need to support as a church. In Crofton Times next week, there will be a list of the things that we need. Bring them from next Sunday onwards all the way up to Christmas and put them around the Christmas tree, and we'll make sure that those things go to people who really need them. Here's an here's our video clip.
People tell me that we saved their lives, and I think, oh, we just gave you some food. And they say, no, you saved my life. I was thinking of killing myself. Because you don't understand the despair, the shame. We can't pay the rent, you can't feed your kids, and then you guys gave me some food. We provide nutritionally balanced food sufficient for 3 days minimum, and it's all the things that you would need so that you can provide breakfast, lunch and dinner for yourself and the other people that are dependent on you. People come in, they meet with food bank volunteers who talk to them a bit about their needs, provide them with a hot meal there and then, just sympathise with them in the difficulty they're going through. Every item of food has been donated by people in the local community. We engage with schools, with businesses, with churches. The whole message is, would you help your hungry neighbour? We get lots of feedback from clients. They tell us it's the first place I've been where people didn't judge me. Hundreds of social workers, church pastors, probation officers have sent their clients with vouchers to food bank.
And it's for 2 adults and 4 children, isn't it?
Our vision's really straightforward. We want to see a food bank in every community in this country. By 2015-16, we'll be mobilising more than 5 million people to do food banks. So that's 5 million people getting involved in the local communities. And the lead has been taken by churches up and down the nation.
There's something really important for us to get involved in this Christmas. We can make a real difference for people in our local community. So do please give generously to Food Bank. Lots of things to do, isn't there? It's pretty busy, not just in our own lives, but also as a church. Lots of events and activities taking place between now and Christmas. 24 days to go, or 23 and however many quarters we found in this corner this morning. We know when that day is coming, don't we? But we still know that we mightn't be ready in time. But the big question we want to ask this morning, just for a few minutes, is this. How do we get ready for the day of Jesus' return? How do you get ready for a day when you don't really know when it's going to be? Well, thankfully, Jesus gave us the answer to that question. And Sheila's going to come and read a passage from the Bible this morning, which will be on the screen, so you can follow it as Sheila reads it. It's in Matthew chapter 24. If you want to follow it in a Bible in front of you, you can, but we're going to use a slightly different version this morning as we read together. So Matthew 24. Sorry, it's a long way around, Sheila, this morning to get up here with treasure chests and everything. But as Sheila reads this to us, well done for getting here. The words are going to be here on the screen so we can follow them as you read them. Thank you, Sheila.
So, be on your guard. You don't know when your Lord will come. Homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they are always on guard to keep one from breaking in. Always be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man will come. Who are faithful and wise servants? Who are the ones the master will put in charge of giving other servants their food supplies at the proper time? servants are fortunate if their master comes and finds them doing their job. You may be sure that a servant who is always faithful will be put in charge of everything the master owns. But suppose one of the servants thinks that the master won't return until late. Suppose that evil servant starts beating the other servants and eats and drinks with people who are drunk. If that happens, the master will surely come on a day and at a time when the servant least expects him. That servant will then be punished and thrown out with the ones who only pretended to serve their master. There they will cry and grit their teeth in pain.
We're going to be looking at that story in a couple of minutes because Jesus tells us exactly what we need to do to get ready for the day of his big return. But before we do that, we're going to sing another song. And if we've got younger children here this morning, we've got some activity sheets that you might like to work on for the next few minutes. We've got some pencils and we've got some sheets. You'll see some clues coming up on the screen in a few minutes. There's a place to write a prayer. You might like to write a prayer that we could use at the end of our service. And Nathan, my very trusty and beautiful new assistant, is going to help you out, okay? He's going to hand out the sheets while we stand and sing our next song. Thanks, Roz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let's sit for a minute. Let's come back to that story which was read just a couple of minutes ago, because the question we're thinking about this morning is, how do you get ready for a day when you don't know when it's going to be? It's kind of a complicated question, really, isn't it? We know when Christmas Day is coming. We know that it's approximately 24 days. And we know what we've got to do between then and now. But how do you get ready for a day that is unexpected? Well, thankfully, Jesus gives us some answers. I'm going to look at those answers very quickly, and you'll find on your sheets, children, that some of those answers are going to come up on the screen in just a minute. Firstly, Jesus is saying you need to be on your guard, because you don't know when this day is going to happen. So how can you be ready? Well, here's the first piece of advice that he gives to us. Firstly, he says in verse 43, you need to be prepared. You've got to be prepared for that day. And in order to help us understand what he meant, Jesus is great about using illustrations. And so what he does is he talks about a burglar. And sometimes you might see in your area, a little sign goes up sometimes, beware, thieves about, or thieves at work. And when you see those kind of signs, and particularly if you're a homeowner, or if you have a house or apartment or a flat or somewhere where you live, where all your stuff is, then you need to take care, don't you? There are some things that you need to do to be prepared. So how would you be preparing yourself to make sure that your home was protected? Question. What do we do to make sure our place is secure? Come on. Yes.
Security alarms.
Security alarm, that's a good way to start, isn't it? What else might we do, yeah? Booby traps. Gosh, I wouldn't want to come near your house. I think you've been watching all the Home Alone films, I suspect, you know. Definitely not going to come near your house, that's for sure. What else might we do? Come on, adults, what would we do to keep our home secure? Pardon? Lock your windows, okay, some window locks. Somebody said burglar alarm. What else might we do? Yes? Yeah, neighborhood watches. That's right, another way of looking after our stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you know, if you want to be prepared for the day of Jesus' return, he says, well, just think how prepared you often are to make sure that your house isn't burgled. There are certain things that you're going to do to make sure that your house is secure. And in Jesus' day, it was a little bit different. They didn't have burglar alarms. But if you had something valuable, they would probably bury it somewhere. And you probably wouldn't go out at night because night was a dangerous time. So you might stay in an awful lot more at night than we do. And if you wanted somebody to look after your sheep, you'd probably hire someone to come and look after them for you. So you would make preparations to make sure that the things that you had were kept secure. And Jesus is saying, in the same kind of way, you need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. He says, always be ready, because he says, you don't know when this day is going to come. I don't know if any of you can relate to these pictures. We've got a couple of runners in the church, haven't we? Chris, you've done a bit of running, haven't you? Come on, just stand up for me for a minute, okay? We don't need to do anything, actually, but just maybe answer a couple of questions will be helpful, you know. Right. But, you know, if you're prepared, you've done a marathon, is that right? What would happen if you kind of just came to the marathon without having prepared for it?
Oh, well, you'd go very red, and you'd go very sweaty, and you'd fall over.
Right, a bit like me now at the moment, then, probably, you know, unhealthy-looking specimen, yeah. So you really have to prepare, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to do lots of practicing.
Right. Does that mean sort of serious practice?
Well, you've got to run a bit further than to the end of the road, yes.
Okay, so serious preparation, okay? There's no point in just putting a sort of a few days running in just before you do a marathon, because it's not going to work, is it? Or maybe some of you have done tests. Any of you done school tests? School exams? Some of you, haven't you? Sort of a few grim faces at the front here. But when your teacher gives you a test, really what they're trying to say to you is you really need to do a bit of work before the test comes, rather than just turning up on the day and hoping that it goes well. Well, that's the same sort of thing that Jesus is saying here. He's saying you need to be prepared. Though it's not just about a sprint to the finish, because he says you don't know when this day is going to come. So firstly, you've got to be prepared. The second piece of advice that he gives is that you've got to be faithful. And what he talks about in this illustration is he talks about a servant. And he says, just think of a servant who knows that his master's going to go away. And servants in Jesus' day had to be responsible, especially the chief servant, for serving and giving food to all of the other servants. And he said a faithful servant in Jesus' day would do that regardless of whether their master was there or not. He says, be like a faithful servant. And I was thinking, well, how do you illustrate that point? And I thought, well, imagine for a moment that we got a letter a couple of months ago from Songs of Praise. Imagine they said, you know what, we'd really love to come to Crofton Baptist Church, and we'd love to film one of your Sunday morning services, and we'd like everybody in the whole of Britain to see it. Well, what would we do? We'd say, wow, what a great opportunity. I might even wear a tie. We might even do a little bit of extra sort of cleaning, mightn't we? We might say to Paul, give the church an extra clean because we know we're going to be on television. Paul does a great job here and we're grateful for what he does. Maureen was out cleaning the front of the church yesterday. You know, maybe she would then have another go at it, just in case, because we'd go to the extra effort, wouldn't we? We might dress a little bit differently if we thought we were going to be seen on television today. There are all kinds of things that we might do differently if we thought the whole of Britain was going to be watching us on TV. But what would happen if I got a phone call at about midnight last night and suddenly the BBC said, I'm terribly sorry, Adrian, but we've got the date wrong. We're actually going to be in your church tomorrow morning. And imagine if we came to church this morning, they were all here. Cameras were here and everybody was going on air. Would we have done anything differently this morning knowing that the television cameras were going to be here? Or would we just do things exactly the same way? That's the kind of point that Jesus is making. He says, we actually have to live our lives as if the sort of TV cameras were there all the time. If we're serious about following Jesus, we've got to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. That's the point that he's making. And I wonder how that might change the way we might approach Christmas if we live like that. What about all these carol services that are coming up? We might say, I'm going to make the extra effort to invite someone to a carol service this year because that's really important and I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus and I want people around me to know the good news of the Christmas story. What about the way that we live as Christians? We might say, you know, I'm not being all that faithful in terms of a disciple. There's some things I need to change. And Lord, by your Spirit, I need you to help me to change those things. Living faithfully day in and day out. A bit like the television cameras are going to be on us all the time, not on a special occasion. So Jesus says, be prepared. Secondly, he says, be faithful. And the last thing he says to us is, you need to be real. Because he says, God sees the inside as well as the outside. I was thinking, how do I illustrate that? Well, I need a volunteer to help me to do that. Because I want to show you this morning, come on up, I want to show you how God sees. People are sort of pretending to be one thing, and yet there's something very different on the inside. Come on up and give me a hand here. A couple of things I thought that we could do this morning. Firstly, do you like Coke?
Yeah.
You love Coke, do you? Okay. Well, here's a Coke for you. I want you to open it and have a nice drink of it this morning, okay?
Okay.
All right. Pull the tab.
Can you do it?
I can do it, yes, if you want me to. Okay, there we go. Have a nice drink. What's wrong with it?
It's nice and tasty.
Nice and tasty, is it? Can you have a drink?
Okay.
Is there anything in there?
Not as good as the regular kind, but there's nothing in there.
No, nothing in. Okay, looks lovely on the outside. Used to be an ad that says Coke was the real thing. Well, there's nothing in that, is there? Completely empty. Let's just try something else here, okay? Pretending to be something on the outside, okay? Do you like baked beans?
Yeah.
Yeah? Baked beans?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just sort of show everybody nice baked beans. Do you like them cold?
No.
Not really, so you're not really into tasting these for me this morning, are you? Think very carefully before you answer this question. Okay, let's open the beans, shall we?
Oh, okay.
All right. Do you think you can open that? Do you want me to do it?
You do it.
Okay. Okay, let's just pull this back a little bit. There we go. Have a nice smell. Baked beans?
Yeah.
What do you think that is? Is it baked beans?
I think so.
You think it's baked beans? When did you last have some baked beans? So I'm going to show you something here now. Look. This isn't really what it looks like, you see. If I sort of tear this off.
Oh.
What's that say? Cat food.
Oh.
Okay. When did you last have baked beans, as a matter of interest? Probably a while ago. I'll let you go sit down, okay? I won't ask you to taste the cat food, okay? I'm not that mean, I promise. The point is quite simple. God sees us on the inside as much as he does on the outside. And the servant that Jesus talks about in this second story he's talking about is a servant who was unwise and who pretended that he'd just have a good time because he thought, actually, my master's been away a long time and actually doesn't look like he's ever going to be back, so I'm just going to live as I please. And that's how Jesus says some people live. It seems to be a long time since Jesus died and rose again. It's such a long time since he promised to return that people are saying, well, it doesn't really matter. I just live as I please. And Jesus says, if you want to be prepared for the return of Jesus, you need to be real. You need to be the same on the inside as you are on the outside. And this smell of kitty cat's really getting to me. Oh, shocking smell. So here we go, about being ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The question we need to ask ourselves as we conclude this morning is, are we ready? Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for that great day that is coming when God says, I'm going to make everything new? Are you ready? Are you ready for the day of his return? We know, don't we, that there's 24 days to Christmas. We don't know how many days it is before Jesus' return. It might just be that for some of us, what we're hearing this morning is a little different from how we've been living up until now. Being prepared, being faithful, being real. That's what Jesus is saying to us. For some of us, perhaps, you know, when it comes to Jesus and Christmas, we love the Christmas story and we celebrate the Christmas story, but that's about as far as it goes. But we've never actually welcomed Jesus as our King and our Master. So we go as far as the birth of Jesus. We never really travel to Easter, to his death and to his resurrection, recognizing that actually this is all about the time when Jesus stepped into our world in the person of Jesus Christ to give us a new start, to help us to start over again, to live his life in our lives with us, to help us to be people who are prepared, people who are ready, people who are real. Christmas is coming. Whether you are ready or not, some of you are more ready than others. These guys here are a great example to us this morning. I'm very impressed. I've got a long way to go to catch up with you guys. Christmas is coming whether you are ready or not. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Jesus is very practical in his teaching, isn't he? And he says to us, if you want to be ready, you've got to be prepared, you've got to be faithful, and you've got to be real. We're only going to conclude this morning with a prayer that might help us. Here's the prayer, because I'd like you to see it before we use it together. And children, if you're writing a prayer this morning, do start writing that prayer now, because we might use it at the end of our service. So here's the prayer that we're going to use together. So I want you to see it. The times that we've forgotten that Jesus is both King and Lord. We want to say sorry this morning for those times that we've lived as if that doesn't matter. We want to say sorry for the times when we have done things that have angered God because they've not pleased him. We want to say sorry for the words that we may have used that have wounded God. We're very easily able to wound each other with words that we use. We want to say sorry for the thoughts that have betrayed God, things that go on in our head, which means that we're not really being real as we were seeing this morning. We want to ask God to help us to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and in the light of this morning, to be people who are prepared, faithful, and real. I think that's a great prayer for us to finish with this morning. And we can use it together. And as I read the words that are in yellow, and if you want to respond, then the words in white are a great way of doing that. So let's pray. For the times when we have forgotten that Jesus is both Lord and King, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the actions that have angered you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the words that have wounded you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the thoughts that have betrayed you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. Help us this Christmas to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. By your Spirit, help us, we pray. Help us to be people who are prepared, faithful, and real. By your Spirit, help us, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song as we conclude this morning. So let's stand, shall we, as we sing. Children, if you've written a prayer that you want us to use when we're finished singing, you can bring those prayers up to me, okay, and we'll use them at the end of the service. So let's stand, shall we, to sing. Let's stand now. We're going to sing one more song. Quite a lively song. I know it's a sort of theme song of those of you headed to Capon Race. So I'm going to need some help as we do this song. At least Martin and Diane, because there's some actions to go with this song. These are the days of Elijah. We're going to sing it because of the chorus, "Behold, He Comes." It's about the return of Jesus Christ. Great song for us to finish with this morning. If you've got a prayer you want us to use, I'm going to come and stand down the front here. Bring that prayer up to me and we'll use it at the end. But Martin and Diane are going to help us with some actions to this well-known song, "These Are the Days of Elijah." Let's sing it together. Over to you guys.
Slightly since the actions have changed slightly since last time because I followed the wrong person in Cape Ray year before last, so do forgive.
These are the days of Elijah. Thank you so much. Brilliant. Let's stand as we pray. Okay, coffee and tea served through this door on my left. Do stay around. And if you're visiting this morning, we'd love to get to know you. So do introduce yourselves to us. Just a couple of prayers I've got so far this morning. We're going to use one to do those as we pray. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for Christmas. Thank you for the Christmas that we are looking forward to. Thank you for snow. But the best thing is that we enjoy Christmas. Thank you for our homes in which we live. Thank you for our food. And thank you for Christmas. And Lord, we want to add our prayers as we think today of Christmas Day. So much to do to get ready, but we pray at the very center of our celebrations will be that amazing fact that you stepped into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we might welcome you not just as a baby, but also as our King and as our Saviour. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.